Greg, we got to hear this from you next week, so I'll pass you on this question. But how did you two get your start in musical improv? And
we got our start together, actually.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that? Well, actually, that's a lie.
No, it's not.
I did musical improv in high school and college, but it was short form musical improv. So my long form musical improv foray began with Harper Rose at UCB.
Hey, guess what? We were in 101 together.
Yeah.
And we just became bestianas. And then after that, he told me he was going to sign up for musical improv. I want you to know. Did not understand what that meant. I thought you just sit around in a circle and sing at each other, like a campfire thing. And why would it be that? So it wasn't that. And I had a panic attack on the first day, and I was like, I'm never doing this again. And then now here we are.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
you weren't completely wrong. We did kind of all just sit in a circle and sing at each other for an hour.
It was, dare I say, my biggest fear, and I found it to be so horrifying to like have to do a scene into a song, because I think musical theater is like my biggest fear. And so then it was like kind of close to that. I was like, oh, what am I doing?
Well,
can I ask you, do you think it's like one of your biggest fears to this day still?
I mean, I would say yes.
Yeah. Can I ask about what draws you to it through the fear then?
I think I'm an adrenaline junkie. So it kind of like anything that kind of, that's also why I love scary movies. So like anything that gives me fear, I'm going to go do it. So,
I love that.
And also, I really love the people.
I think you're onto something, that musical improv is kind of for adrenaline junkies to a certain extent. I don't know anyone who does it who doesn't like that feeling you're describing. And different people get it at different levels, but mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Hey, there's something, too, about like the, not rush in the adrenaline rush, but literal rush of having a song going that you have to sing to. Where it's just like, okay, if in normal improv, you know, regular non-musical improv, you can kind of take as much time as you need, and the goal is to say something funny when you can, but in musical improv, it's like, well, and you missed the chorus, and you just missed the verse.
Me.
And that was your next time to... I'm talking directly to you, actually.
And this is kind of healing for us.
Yeah. This is our...
Let's go over your worst sets. And okay. Whose fault they were.
So...
you both had one ready.
I know.
Yeah. November 3rd, 1943.
Oh, the Hindenburg.
Can I actually... Okay, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Can I actually answer that?
Your worst set? You can, but don't.
Wait, really? It's fun.
Okay,
the worst set I ever had was our class show. I think it was level 2, or 102, whatever. And I was so nervous, I didn't sing. And I was a fugue, and your grandma called me out. She's like, I didn't think Harper Rose was singing. And I go, I wasn't.
What?
And so I was going...
You were lip-syncing.
I was lip-syncing, and then it came time for me to say something, and I was like... And I just like didn't do it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And I wanted to share that.
The fear won in that moment.
Yeah.
Other than that, I feel like any set you do is better than not doing it. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
I had a set just like that. Also a class, like workshop graduation, and quite literally did not sing a single note. Like, even in choruses, I was like,
You're in that going, doodly
doodly. No, it was,
I remember my worst set, now that I'm thinking about it, as long as we're doing this. I was invited to do a set with, like, at the time, all my improv heroes. They, like, were doing a set, and I went to the show, secretly, of course, like everyone, being like, and maybe someone will drop out, and, like, they'll ask me to do it. So it was like... people who, you know, now I have like more of a peer relationship with, but at that time I was like, oh my God, they're just like great performers. Like Zach Reno, it was Jess McKenna, Chris Grace, and maybe Ross Bryant. And so it was all these people that are really great performers. And I was like, and they were short a man, and they were like, do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, of course. And I just like, I was so green that I remember I like started a song and collectively all of them went, Yeah, that was that's really good. And they like kind of like gently shut it down. And then I think I didn't say another word on that set.
I just had to look away because I felt that pain.
Yeah. and even, you know, that might be like bad improv etiquette to like shut down someone's song, but it was like it was more just like, oh, this is going nowhere and you're stuck. So they were just, it was like a kindness. It was like they took me to the back of the shed and
The old
of mice and men.
The old
I was just,
yeah.
Look at the walk-ons. Yeah. Look at the walk-ons.
Instead look of at look the at the rabbits. Yeah. Yeah. Look that's at the beautiful cool. walk-ons. Like, yeah. Lenny. Yeah.
Lenny, that's right.
But yeah, what you wanna? You got one?
Yeah. I can share one where I did a set with my freestyle hip-hop group, Dopetown 3000, and we had to do it high.
Oh, wow.
And I remember very specifically, I got on stage and the beat started, and I got to the rhyme word way too early, and I turned around and I hid on the back line. I tried to hide. Oh. I got so embarrassed, and I was too high. And so I just was like, nobody look at me, please. I got there too early, and I couldn't recover.
Oh, man. God, the idea of doing musical improv, especially, like, maybe I could do it tipsy.
Yes.
But doing it high sounds insanely the mind, difficult.
Yeah, like the brain fog. Would
it was
be...
tough.
Yeah.
One of the members, though, was always high when we did it.
Oh, yes.
So it was cakewalk for him.
He'd been planning.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, he was like, oh, yeah. So my everyday? Yes. Let me lock in. You're like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's something that you guys have been thinking about or struggling with musical improv as of late? Mm.
Thinking about or struggling with?
I'll go.
Okay. okay. No. Here's the thing. I think this has like been for, like, from the beginning. I get so afraid. Basically, I just still like getting over the fear. And I feel like I still get so self-conscious of, like, messing up the entire set. And so opening numbers are still, like, horrifying to me. And I think I, like, set a course for the first time, like, just the other night. And I'm like, oh, my God, did I fuck up the entire set? Oh, shit. And then, like, for the rest of the show, I think it was, like, a Louis show. Maybe I shouldn't admit that. But anyways, I was just, like, in my head the whole time that I set the course. I'm like, oh, my God, did I ruin everything? Because my chorus, like... I don't know.
And
so
of
I've
course
just...
you didn't at all.
Right. What if you were like, and of course I remember that, and it and was it a hard a, watch, yep. Toots. but yeah, so I think just like the release of improv. Because like in stand-up, you hold on to so much, and so it's like a totally different muscle to just like practice the art of, dare I say, letting go.
Yeah. Are there any other interesting differentials or things you notice between stand-up and improv that are like, that somebody would be interested in?
Well, bombing... in stand-up versus not even bombing with musical improv, but you know, like you're creating something with a partner or with a couple people, and so it's a group sport. So like if you haven't gotten to the laughs yet, just trust like they're gonna come, or if they don't come, you're gonna live, it's gonna be okay. But if you're bombing as a stand-up, you're like, hey, look guys, I know, but like that's the thing I struggle with in musical improv, because I'm like, the audience, I need them to know that I know. It's like, and then I get, it's like it kind of takes me out,
because there's like that tradition in stand-up of like when you bomb or something doesn't hit, to almost like comment on it, to like get ahead of them. It's like, well, I know I'm it's bombing up here, so you can't even be mad. It's defense. It's self-defense.
Totally self-defense. Or also, oftentimes I feel like scenes, like they'll get cooking after, and it's great if you can come right out the gate with making people laugh. But oftentimes I feel like you're building something, and so you're. You know, it takes a couple lines to get to like the funny or to find the thing to create a pattern off of. But I'm really bad at that, because if the first thing I say doesn't get a laugh, I'm like, should I end it all right now on the stage?
Right. Interesting so, heighten.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, a little fun twist.
Jeremy, you never come home on time.
Well,
no laughs.
Yeah. I know. I go, don't and make me that. Do it. Yeah.
About you, Eric.
Oops.
Something I'm. Working on. I almost went Australian there. I don't know why.
Something on.
Working on right now.
That's good.
Is honestly rhyming. I'm not the best rhymer. It's taken work to get there. I can do it in a vacuum if I'm home alone or in the shower. I'm like, I'm killing it. But once it's like, well, try rhyming about something that makes sense, or try rhyming in a way that will further the story. It's like, no, not gonna happen. So that's, I'm working on like, yeah, that sort of stuff right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Greg? It's been a week since I asked this question.
That's true.
Anything, been on your mind this week in this world?
In the entire world?
No, Greg,
you're broadening it out for me?
Purposely misunderstanding.
Let's get into the stock market.
No, anything in the musical industry.
What's going on with that?
Is that your Greg?
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, I like it.
No, that was
that's really good.
Rock Lobster.
Fuck. I've been working on my impressions of my friends. But
yes. Phil, just they hate them. No,
I haven't had one stick yet, but...
What about you, Greg?
That's a good question. I think I'm wanting to play with a little more intentionality lately. Mm-hmm. I think I have been... And part of it is interesting because a lot of the stuff I've been doing lately is accompanying and improvising at the same time.
Yeah, a magical
which
skill.
Which is odd to do. And I kind of have to approach it like almost the way Tim plays the drums, which is it's not 5 to 6 different individual pieces you're doing individually. It's the drum set is one instrument. This is just how you play it. Mm. But I think to approach MDing and accompanying, or excuse me, accompanying and improvising as one instrument, I kind of go a little on like instinct, gut vibes. And I'm kind of, I did some like regular improv recently where I was really happy to settle and ground and play a little more realistic and thoughtfully. And I'm kind of looking to like allow myself that patience in scenes and musical improv too.
Yes. It's funny. I've been thinking about.
About me?
About you.
Yeah.
It's funny, I can't stop thinking about you.
Hello.
I can't stop thinking about, trying to, you know, musicals are so heightened.
Yeah.
But in turn, I would like to be doing more musical improv about small things. Like, and like, I feel like a tendency with gamey musical improv is that it always can become like really big or abstract. Like, a good example in this set was like, we had a few sets about like political ideology, and I feel like those kind of more abstract terms for thinking about prov are more of my go-tos, my like well-worn highways of game. Whereas like I'd like to be playing more games that are about like
a character
or like something a little more grounded or interpersonal. Like I wish I had dug more into like the We're Making a Scene song was more close to what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's just fun to like play with this game you or this info gather you talked about at the top of the set of like there was this couple and they like wouldn't take it to the bathroom. And I was like, oh, there's enough there of like, why won't a couple take it to the bathroom? It's like they want to be witnessed in their conflict in
take
a way.
Take it to the bathroom.
Oh. Take it to the bathroom.
From VIP. The
dirty
babe.
Dirty baby.
Kind of fits.
So yeah, I find that interesting or something I find myself thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love all that.
I just want to reiterate. I love that too. Just want to join this.
I just was saying I love what.
What's a
Philip barreling forward?
What's something that you feel like through
pretending we don't exist
improv?
Right now.
You have like or like what's something you feel like is really cooking with you right now? Like that you're like, oh, this is a lesson that I've taken in from another improviser, or like what's something that is inspiring you more so? Like we talked about having problems. Now, what are things that you're like? I'm really jamming on this.
I am really trying to find like bigger characters and have them be fun and real like characters and not just like, oh, I'm playing myself or I'm playing a human. 'Cause there's a lot of improvisers who do that and it lends itself to so many fun scenes or whatever, references, anything like that. And I think I have the tendency in musical improv to hold back on a big character because it's like, well, I need to how can I justify this and everything? Where it's like, be the big character, be specific in how you're presenting.
Right. It's fun to take a big swing
in
a set
every once in a while,
discover that like you'll be okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that everyone likes it.
Yeah.
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 That's a big one for me, for sure.
I liked some big swings I liked in the set we just did was your big, almost like a monologue, like mayoral monologue at the top. Like, you were laying a lot of track.
Yes, I was.
And I was like, and we were kind of just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, because there's something, again, it felt written to me. Like, sometimes when you take a big swing, it's like, I'm going to do a monologue about being mayor. It's like, yeah, in a show, I could imagine you finish the opening number, and then the villain comes out and says, like, "These is my who I am, and let me bring you in," and all these things. And I liked that, and I felt like that was a fun big swing that, like, no one died, everything was cool, and in fact gave us lots to work with and talk about from the jump. Yeah.
I liked the moment when you all kind of stopped everything and said, "We have to figure out our dreams right here, right now." That was like a big, not only a swing, but almost like a let's figuratively stop the snowball from like turning into a big avalanche, because we don't have like the control yet. We don't have the map for the avalanche to go down. And I watching y'all three navigate that was like really inspiring and cool.
Yes. Because the second scene, I came out as this pirate.
Yes.
Which was like nowhere in the info gather or anything. It was like a true swing from, talk about big character swing.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, it's like, wait, this show's not about the pirate. His whole thing is like he can't. Well, I actually had this instinct that it's like he would be more like a narrator.
Yeah, which you did at the end, which I loved.
Yeah.
Very our town.
But then we left the boat. And so I was like, that idea doesn't work anymore. And I loved that. I was like, because I also loved that we left the boat. Because I was like, right when you think you know what it is, it pivots into like, no, we're on Catalina.
You're welcome.
Wow.
I loved that.
And I just want to say, I love that.
Hey, and I want to just really just stop everything and go, I love that.
Yeah. Also a really great swing. It's like there were a lot of big swings up top. And so I agree that we had to do a quick, like, hold on. The show is very fun, but if we don't stop, we will maybe be doing almost like a montage, was what it was starting to feel like.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
The exposition of musical improv, I found, is better when it's clunky.
Yes.
Which feels wrong, especially coming from, like, I grew up doing musicals. I went to school for musical theater, and that was something where it was like, you don't want the exposition to be too clunky. You want it to be natural, and you want to introduce the characters through this song. But in musical improv, it's like, we gotta get it going. We just gotta be like, here's the pirate guy. He's stuck in a liminal space. The three of them are stepping off, and they're joining an MLM. Like, it just has to happen in any way.
Yeah.
Do you love that?
I was trying so hard not to say that. No, but totally. And also, talking about these big swings, I think that's also another thing. I feel like I get so fearful of being the person to make a big swing, because I just am like, I feel like there's so much pressure to, like, especially with narrative, to like make sure the story goes a certain way. And I think I just like get so doubt. I'm like, oh no, what if I say something crazed? But even if someone does say something crazed, I feel like we can always. That's like what improv is. That's the beauty of it. You just justify it.
Like, what if this is not the character that was written into the script?
Right. Right. So, that's how it feels. Is kind of how it feels. Is like, oh no, I've chosen the thing that wasn't in the script, which ironically, of course, is like, what are we talking about? There is no script. Mm-hmm. And kind of the only wrong thing to do is nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Because
there has to be something to build something. But yeah, I liked, it was a really fun set. Anything?
What's been inspiring you lately?
Yes. Thank you, Greg.
Okay, honestly, the first thing that's coming to my brain is, number one, missed seeing you there. I don't know where you were, but I just saw Andrew and Allie do
Oh, yeah, they did a two-man set,
At Candy, and that really was crazy. Allie Gordon is, like, God's gift to Earth.
She's so good.
Shout out, Allie. Love you, Allie.
But she played, like, both of them played, like, a multitude of characters, but the way Allie kind of, like, drove this plot, it was so beautiful, and she was, just, like, taking big swings. Andrew and her are both playing, like, these, like, really different but really seemingly fully fledged characters, and it was just so fun to watch. And so I feel like what's just been inspiring is, like, just really not letting fear, like, dictate what kind of player you are on stage. And
hell yeah.
I love that.
I didn't know how to land the plane, but
hell yeah. Well, anything else you guys want to chat about before we say goodbye to our lovely listeners?
What was your favorite part of the set?
Oh,
and it can't be something you did. It has to be something someone else did.
That's really good, Greg.
Thank you.
I'll go first. I really loved this mayoral tile runner. I thought it was a fun...
It's so funny.
I thought he was a fun villain. I like a villain who is like scary in a silly way, in a campy way. And so I liked this kind of campy villain. And I liked a lot of your moves today, Greg. I liked also this boyfriend character.
Well, y'all set that up in the opening numbers so well.
I know, that was a great move.
The boyfriend was so funny.
Because you had said there was someone... you said, yes, that it's a good place to break up with your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought this was really good info gather.
Yes, we used everything, it feels like, yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
And that was cool. It inspires me to think about, when I tell stories for musical improv, how can I like make them rich and specific? And like, don't be afraid to even like be funny in the telling.
Yeah.
Because that is like a spark of like, oh, that's just the spark of something someone else can carry through a whole show. Like your sparky idea of like, yeah, don't break up with, like the perfect place to break up with your ex. Or, yeah. So I loved that. That runner between the two of you.
Mm-hmm. It was so fun. I loved the names of the people being berries.
Yes.
That was really fun.
Because I called you Cherry. Right.
Okay, I want you to know, continue. I heard Jerry.
Jerry.
But then I was like, that's interesting that it's Jerry.
It's my
and then Elder Blair. Wait, what
your
was it?
Your Australian accent.
Yeah,
Jerry,
yeah.
Exactly.
Jerry.
Jerry. Jerry. But no, yeah, okay, Jerry so that does make more sense. Because I was going to say, I thought it was really interesting that there was two berries and then one not. But nope, just kidding. We're all berries. And that's why it's good to do the talk back so we can know what the hell was going on.
It's important to have clarity in the talk
back.
But that was, I think, fun. Because you started that kind of game. I think it's fun to notice the like mini the B plot, those mini games, whatever you call them, where it's just like it didn't affect the story too much, but it was just a fun like we're all named after berries and that's all it has to be, and it's funny and it might come up later.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also very important to like not hang too hard on a shiny object of like oh god, we're all named berries. Okay, so that means we're on a berry ship.
Right, and the song has to be
like
I have
a berry.
Name every
skulls.
Berry.
Yeah, I have to name every berry and
a very berry fairy.
Yeah. Exactly. You could have easily ended up with a song called a very berry fairy. Mm-hmm. Which,
and it would have crushed.
And it would have crushed.
Yes. But we're gonna actually redo it again right now.
There's nothing wrong with saying actually
that's just our names.
That's just our names. Mm-hmm. And that was funny. Yeah. What about you, Eric?
It was just fun. I mean, it's fun to experiment with different musical improv kind of forms, not in the like type of musical improv, but like a podcast form and what's different about that. And I really appreciated the introductions of characters where it was like, I'm this person or I'm blah, 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 or really naming them, because it is so necessary when you're not seeing it on stage, or you know, if it's like the video, you're not really watching us like stand up, I'm this person, you know who I am now. But you both, I think we all did kind of some really interesting introductions. But yeah, I don't know, it's fun to experiment and try new things. Yeah.
And Neil's chemistry.
Greg L. Smith.
Yeah.
Our chemistry. Yeah. I can't stop thinking about you, Phil. I really liked the big confrontation scene at the mayor's castle. I love this receptionist character Eric played. I loved how confident but real that person felt. I know you're just talking about wanting to play more big characters, but I really enjoyed that felt like a real person that we all just kind of made ourselves go crazy about. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, you didn't like immediately blow it out to 100. Mm. And that was part
of... You sort of recognized to me that we were unusual. You were just doing your job and we were losing our minds over your beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was very smart.
That was fun. I mean, I didn't come in expecting any game to be formed off of that. But just your responses were so great in that it was like, oh, I'm clear on what direction we're going. I know exactly what's going to happen next. I know how I need to act to support them. So, you know, strong moves.
Strong all around.
Strong all around.
And it was a wonderful set, and we had a great time. Thank you guys for being on the pod and doing this little talk back.
Thanks, Phil.
It was so fun, yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.